Welcome back to Challenges of Faith Radio Program. I'm Gary McCants, the producer and host. I'd like to acknowledge God and the listeners. So we're talking about Ponder and Apply Time, episode number 16. Wow. You know, the last time we left off with dispelling the myth of black men as fathers. And I talked about the Godfather movie, you know, the puppet, the strings, the hand. You know, and who's behind the hand who is leading you and their motive. And for you biblical students and scholars and theologians and pastors, the spiritual enemy, the devil, wants to destroy all unification in families, communities. But how about that two-legged person down here on earth that motive may not be right toward people, irrespective of skin tone? But as you can remember, I'm specifically talking about my community. Well, I know you're ready to begin. You are you not? Remember how we started off with biblical history and linkages and lineage? When was the last time you thanked your ancestors? You did come from somewhere, remember? I want to provide some final snippets, just snippets, from an upcoming book. I know you're ready. You sure? All right, here we go. Some of my most memorable times was watching my uncles, men of distinction, all of them, handsome, sharp dressers, latest vehicles, always laughing, always respectful toward mother, dad, and granny, always willing to help me, show me their love, and were firm. And that's when you realize they were your uncles, not your brothers. You know, similar to my father's many brothers and sisters, family members loving, taking care of, and helping each other. Oh, what has happened to the families and the concern for each other as blacks, African Americans, people of color, oh, as diverse cultures or simply humans? Please answer, if not me, yourself. Right now, as I write, I'm emotional because Mother has taken a pause of sharing a story that I am mentally traveling down memory lane, and it's emotionally draining and rewarding. Rewarding because my grandfather, Dad, was right all along. He would always say when he and his sons would come home from working, "Gary." Of course, he would call me Gary. "Have you walked and smelled the roses? Because life is short." And grandmother, mother, her favorite saying was, "Gary, while smelling the roses, be all God would have you to be." Thank you, Mother and Dad. I love, cherish, and respect you and the experiences and wisdom you unselfishly passed on to me, for me and my beloved son, man, and the readers. I also want to thank my parents for allowing me to see while growing up your kidding, your romantic side with and toward each other that showed why so many of us came into this world with God's blessing. And thank you for showing us that there's nothing wrong with a mom staying home if able to love, protect, and care for the children while our father, with dedicated commitment, worked from sun up to sundown 7 days a week for his family. Thank you for smashing the stereotype regarding black folks and relationships and for remaining married and together these short, I'm kidding, these long years. You're greatly loved. Mother glared at me and said, Gary, are you ready to continue writing? I smiled and said, yes, ma'am. Gary, mother said, we love you. I responded with streaming tears, mother and dad, I love you. Gary, always put God first and he will take care of you, and he has. You see, that's why you're here now. God has called you back here for a reason. He has a plan for your life. I listened to mother and acknowledged to her that because of where I came from and where I am years later, God led and protected me through all of the trials and tribulations. Mother responded, she knew. And that was how he, God, did with our ancestors from biblical times through slavery, civil rights, and now the second millennium. That's my grandmother, Lady of Wisdom. So, Mother, I asked, share with me your church, Stephen CME Church. According to Mother, in 1876, my great-grandparents were attending John Wesley Methodist Church in Lee County and decided to leave and form their own place of worship in 1900. Naming it St. Stephen CME. In 1976, the church was rebuilt and relocated across from their home, where Mother has been the board secretary for the last so many years. And Mother asked, can we take a break? It's been 6 days of writing, and I want to return Sunday and attend worship services with you. Okay, Mother replied. Just remember, Gary, you have not finished writing. Yes, ma'am, Mother. Mothers are something special, don't you think so? Always know when you haven't finished what you or they started. Mothers and sons, dads and daughters, interesting favoritism always been and will always be, don't you think so? I do, especially because this is my story. Remember, you have your story. I know you're researching. It's a beautiful day this Sunday. Here I am again attending worship services with Mother. Mother and I, while exiting the vehicle, shared a laugh of memory lane, meaning the last time I attended as a teenager. I was honored to be permitted to stand at the pulpit and get on the congregation's nerves. But here we, Mother and I, are years later entering the rebuilt church of my ancestors. I glanced at the order of service and quickly took note of the biblical thought for that sunny day. Who else but God goes back and forth to heaven? Who else holds the wind in his fists and wraps up the oceans in his cloak? Who but God has created the world? Any other, what is his name? and his son's name, if you know it. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. I thought to myself how powerful and fitting, not only personally, but globally as well. Well, the service began with the pastor calling for worship, and in walked the choir, a choir of youth. And when they began singing, oh, how powerful. But that didn't end there. When the youth sung individually and raised their voices to heaven, yes, upward, I noticed mother began to move with them. And next thing I recall, so did I. The youth were pouring their heart, soul, and voices out to our Creator through their songs of praise and worship. Before I knew it, or anyone else, tears began streaming down my face. I thought to myself, oh, the youth of America, oh, the youth of my culture are in dire need of help. We've lost our way from where we began here with our Creator, just like the biblical thought for today. Well, the service continued, and lo and behold, after all these years, I was truly back home with mother, with dad, with loving and truly caring relatives and neighbors. The type of care missing across the United States in the cities, both small and large, but not in the rural communities where everyone knows that they need and should help each other. I couldn't help but think of all the cultures in the United States, but specifically my own, whereas men and women sitting or standing across from each other and not wanting to trust each other, not wanting to communicate with and to each other, not wanting to help each other, not wanting to build each other up. What in the world happened? Better yet, what in this world apart from slavery, injustices, and external forces have caused this form of turmoil within the homes of our culture? And not just my culture, but the similar struggles occurring daily in the homes and lives of all the diverse cultures living in America. As I continued sitting and listening, I couldn't help but to be reminded by our Creator of my together grandparents and parents. And I also was reminded of the parable of two builders and two foundations. When one's home was built on sand, the other on rock. When the winds and floods came, the home that was built upon the rock stood. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. But how about your life, your relationship, your home, your job, your place of worship? Is there a true and lasting foundation? So when the rains, the winds, and floods of life pound on you, you're left standing. You know, pounds of life like turmoil, pain, deception, loss of family, loss of finances, loss of jobs, loss of transportation, and on and on and on. Oh, and by the way, who do you turn to for solace? So-called friends, brethren, or associates, or true brethren and friends? Do you turn to family? How about our Creator? You don't mind if I take a sip of water, do you not? You know how I got to keep it real. Well, as the doxology and benediction closes out the service, and mother and I depart, I couldn't help but notice the writing on the cornerstone of the church. It read, St. Stephen CME Church, rebuilt A.D. 1976. And it identified the trustees, Jacob Gilson, Nelson Floyd, James David, Isaac Gibson, Jeffrey Finch, Clayton Gibson Jr., Arthur Floyd, Irene Hawk, Musi Floyd, Eula Lowe, Dr. G.M. Frazier, retired Reverend C.A. Kirkendall. Family. Here was this church was a part of my ancestral history with my ancestors as trustees and mother as the secretary of the board. Too deep for me. As mother and I drove to the house, she reminded me that I wasn't finished writing. Yes, ma'am, mother. But did you notice the last names of all the family members? Did you notice? Did you notice yours? Mother, it seems Riverview, now known as Valley, has come a long way. I ask. Yes, Gary, it has, responded Mother. According to Mother, Riverview Valley, which covers 9 miles and 9,556 residents, obtained the status of a city in 1980, having its first official mayor in 1988. Apart from Mother serving on the various boards, her volunteer efforts paid off in many ways for not only the Valley School and buses, but for the betterment of all types of services for the residents, leading the mayor to authorize the renaming of Mother's and Dad's street to be called Gibson Street. But the gain didn't stop there. It was refreshing to see and know that throughout Alabama, my relatives were law enforcement, postmasters, officials, all types of professions. But most importantly, to know in Valley, my relatives served on the housing, adjustments, and grievance reviews, which were mayoral-appointed boards. And finally, to see my cousin, Wyatt Finch, become the first of two African Americans to serve as Valley City Council members. How ironic. Truly the God and creator of all cultures and this globe is in control all the time. Well, I do. Mother, I'm going to stop writing from now and retire for the evening. But before I do, I'd like to go and see where my ancestors are buried. Baby, Mother responded, I'll have your Uncle Jacob take you. Oh, Uncle Jacob, one of the twins named after the biblical twins. We drove, and lo and behold, the cemetery was located, guess where? In Lee County, where it all began, along the Chattahoochee River. Yes, the quiet strip of road. Prior to entering, I paused to pray, because it was the sacred burial grounds of my ancestral past. Here we are, entering the cemetery, surrounded by a fence signifying for my ancestors' protection and of their prominence as African Americans, especially for me. And old Uncle Jacob also shared a story how that on my grandfather's side, father's side, how that those who happened to be white stole a lot of land from him. Well, let's get back to Uncle Jacob. You don't mind, do you? Uncle Jacob pointed to all of my relatives and identifying who each were. I noticed all the different last names. I was astonished at when God brought them into earth and took them back. To see the years from the 1800s through the 1990s was too deep for me. Uncle Jacob and I left. However, that would not be my last visit. After having began this story, a day where I would be sharing with Mother and Dad that I would be departing from home, their home, which was my home, while glaring out the kitchen window, watching Dad do his daily walk. And before I could say anything, Mother reminds me that God is going to use me in a big way and had been Mother lets me know that she's been praying for me daily since I was a baby. Well, you already know what happened next. No, I guess you don't. Because that means that you know me. Well, tears began streaming down this 44 years of age face. Here was my beloved grandmother, mother, sharing with me that God had blessed her to walk along with my up and down journeys through life and actively participating with me through her prayers. Before I continue my story, has there been anyone in your life that has let you know of their care for you? Not for what you have, but what you give them for you. Well, do you? Have you? Mother continues reminding me to go and be what God would have me to be wherever he would lead. I assured Mother that her words of sayings over the years to me have taken root and that I have accepted God's call on my life with no more resistance. Mother smiled and said, "Baby, give Mother a kiss." Now, of course, there's tears flowing into the Gibson Street. Grandson gladly gave Mother not only a kiss but a hug as well, coupled with thanking her and expressing my love to and for her and Dad. "Well, Mother, it's time for me to go." Mother responded, "I know. When you're returning with my book." Mother reminded me of hers and Dad's aging years, at which I assured her my return would be as soon as I completed this story. I also assured Mother that God wouldn't take her and Dad home until they received this book, especially since Mother began sharing this story, and she did. She shared that a white man had a few years earlier recorded her story of the past and made a lot of money from it with his books. It is now 12:18 p.m. As I departed Mother's kitchen, I went outside and found Dad, letting him know that I was leaving. We shook hands, hugged, kissed, and expressed our love for and to each other. It was real difficult for me to turn from him. This was my living grandfather, the person who made me slow down in life and think. As I began walking with those old, streaming tears, Dad called out, "When you coming back?" "Soon, Dad, soon." Oh, society and their depiction of men, especially black men. Well, here were two black men expressing how we felt about each other, men who were not trying to harm each other in any way, shape, or form, wishing each other the best for each other. How about you? Can you express your emotions? Will you? Why not? And maybe that's why physical problems occur more so with us men of all global cultures, because of unexpressed emotions. What do you think? Well, here I was, a man who had graduated from many types of schools, whether it's a schools, a project, or public housing, or that which society called middle class, or Bible schools, or military schools, camp, boot camps, and law enforcement academies. With the important schools in my life being from the streets of Hard Knocks and God's University. It was peaceful to release those emotions. And years of being wrongfully used by diverse individuals of all cultures, including my own, to be able to finally be with family and releasing emotions, I was indeed free. Are you? Bye for now, Dad, I said to him as my legs wobbly walked to the car and headed toward the cemetery. I drove to his entrance off the main road and quietly sat, briefly prayed, and slowly entered the sacred grounds alone. And standing in front of my great-grandmother's granny headstone, I couldn't help but try to fathom what she, Irene E.D. Hawk, and mother's dad, Reverend George Core, and all of my ancestors had endured since arriving in America from Africa. I tearily glanced up toward the clear sky and prayed, God, help me to understand your will for my life and for my culture. Upon finishing, a nice cool breeze blew with birds chirping. I noticed a hawk soaring by. Wow, I thought, our creator is something else. You know he is. You know he is. As I slowly and carefully walked around the cemetery, it was finally time to depart. I closed the gate and hand saluted my people and got in the car and drove. As I checked out, I was so thankful. So thankful I decided to write a book about it. As I headed toward the airport, I couldn't help but think that the fitting way to close is to show the racial, economic, educational, and crime progress of my community, along with all cultures in America, as we enter 2024. Well, here I am, heading to Atlanta. My mind drifts to Mother's kitchen and her reminding words. Be all God would have you to be by putting him first. Mother also reminded me of all the integrity stands I've had to take on each of my jobs and in the communities where I've lived, with her final caution being, even though there are a lot of whites trying to do good relations race-wise, just remember, a lot of what they're doing is out of guilt of their past, you know, the slave owners. And the guilt will not be released unless they in shoe leather first started the foot of the biblical cross with God's Son, Jesus Christ. According to Mother and her ancestors, white folks have always used God to justify wrong and immoral actions throughout human history. And the only redemption, like all other cultures, honestly practicing what they preach rather than continuously pitting races against each other. Now, before I continue while heading toward wrapping up, you remember how I started the story in episode one as it relates to my beloved father and why he rejected God in the beginning as it relates to his parents and siblings, KKK with wearing cross around the necks, coming to their house. Can we continue? As the plane continued toward Atlanta, I thought, after Mother had said that, amen to you, Mother. Here comes the female airline attendant, who happens to be white. She approaches the both of us men, one white, the other black, sitting directly across from each other. Who do you think was asked first if they wanted coffee, tea, soda, or what have you? Well, you guessed wrong. She asked the white male. We finally debarked the plane and I headed to obtain some breakfast. As I stood in line directly behind two white males, the female who happens to be black, prior to taking the white male's orders, attempted three times to greet them. But they didn't reply. My turn, I stepped up to the counter, smiled, and gladly greeted the female black five times. But no response. What went on in both scenarios? What went on? The next time, we're going to take a look at the state of the Bible report for my community as I head toward the state of crime and who the watchers should have been. You don't mind, do you? The biblical quote, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You can find it in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And if you get a chance, listen to a song called "You That I Trust." It's called "You That I Trust." I'll give you a hint. His first name is Paul. The reason why I'm doing that is so that you recognize that sometimes you have to find it for you. It won't always be given to you. But you already knew that. Hey, listen, thank you for taking the time and tuning in to Challenges of Faith radio program, The Ponder and Apply Time with Gary McCants, the producer and host.
With all of my heart, yeah, with all of my heart, yes I will. And I won't leave to my so confused, so low. if I keep my mind, yeah, stay on you, yeah, baby, you want to, in this room, and there may be people listening at home. I want to talk to you for a second and just let you know that situation is too big for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't handle that. You know what you need to do? You need to turn it over to the Lord right now. Wait a minute. If you're at home, you need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down on your knees. Lift your hands. Open your mouth. Throw your head back. And just begin to call the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. Call him Lord. So Lord. Some people who know that your faith has gone to work. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody in here believe that that thing that was worrying you is not going to worry you anymore? You believe Isaiah 26:3 that he'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind staying on him. Well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to call him again. And this time, we're going to call him out of gratitude. We're going to call him in an effort to say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. Come on, lift your hands, open your mouth and just say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. I can't depend on nobody else. You know. want you to do something right quick, and I'm going to leave it alone. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, say, in my life, I've been up and I've been down. But say, in spite of my circumstance, in spite of my situation, look at him real good and say, in spite of what I'm going through right now, say, when I look back over my life and you see how far God brought me back, I can't do nothing but thank the Lord. Somebody ought to get up.